Trash.
With Brad and John.
You want to talk some trash?
And it was 45 years ago tonight that one of the greatest acts, one of the greatest acts of heroism, I think, by a rock and roll performer was committed. And this story is worth retelling. I think we may have told it once years ago here on this program, but on the 45th anniversary, we are going to tell it again. And especially the younger people in this in the audience need to hear this story.
I think Access TV needs to dedicate a weekend to it.
It's so important that this will be more of a theatrical reading and performance this time around as we tell it to you. Brad will, he is going to play the role of one of the protagonists, the hero, our hero. Okay, so he will have that roll down. Scott is back in the studio. He will be bringing in musical accompaniment during this in the story.
Setting the stage.
Yes, during the most dramatic moment of the story. And I will be your humble narrator. And we're at the Riptide Cafe right now in Friday Harbor. And Brad and I are inside. Outside, we have the speakers set up and the radio is playing. And people are gathered around the speakers right now, like in the old-time radio days, mm-hmm. by the dozens with their ears to the speakers because they want to hear this story and the way it's going to be told. So here it is.
The fairies have promised not to blow the foghorn during this rendition.
They will at the end. All right, here is the telling. One of the greatest heroic acts by a rock star ever. 45 years ago tonight, June 24th, 1977, in Madison, Wisconsin. Okay? The victim, saved by our rock and roll hero, a 17-year-old by the name of Keith Lowry. Yes, Keith was jumped by a couple of thugs outside a gas station. A gas station Keith's father owned. Keith was working the midnight shift, Brad.
Pulling the family business.
Yep. Last guy to pull that midnight shift was fired for stealing. Well, he shows up again in this story, Brad. So it's midnight. Keith walks out of the gas station to check the pumps, and he recognizes in the parking lot that former clerk, the clerk who'd been fired. He sees that guy in the parking lot. He's like, well, what's this guy up to?
Trouble's afoot.
And he's got a buddy with him, this guy does. And the two rush Keith. They lift him in the air. They drag him past the pumps to the edge of the station. They toss him violently to the ground, asphalt tearing his skin. Keith can barely make it to his feet, and then they start punching him in the gut, Brad.
Two-on-one's not
yes,
fair.
It's not fair at all. The two punks laughing at him like hyenas. Hard kicks.
Kicking a man when he's down.
To his back, his thighs, his shoulders. They're beating him up. More punches being delivered. Poor Keith is about to have his lights turned out. But then, all of a sudden, brakes screech on a nearby road. And a car door opens. Sharp heels hit the concrete. The kicks and punches come to a stop. And all there is silence. Keith opens one eye. The other boys who are beating Keith up, bug-eyed, as they are looking at this tall, wide-shouldered man wearing a navy jacket and pants, his legs arched widely apart, one in front of the other.
He's man-spreading.
One hand was balled tightly at his side, and the other reached out to the two punks. The fingers, his fingers, heavy with gold. A Mississippi drawl breaks the silence and says,
I'll take you on. These hands are registered weapons.
That drawl was as familiar as apple pie, cold milk, and the Star-Spangled Banner. There, karate posing in the flesh, stood, hit it, Scott, Elvis Aaron Presley.
That's right.
The king.
These hands are deadly weapons, and if you don't believe it, you can come step to me, and me and Red and the rest of the TCB crew are going to take you down. You don't mess around.
It was the king to the rescue in a gas station parking lot.
I'm ready to throw hands, and if the hands don't work, I'll throw the belt buckle. Come on.
Elvis jabbed out his tucked fist in a flash of navy and gold.
You're going to end up in a cape party.
The two punks blinked, silenced from surprise and being starstruck. Yes, they were shocked that Elvis was in a gas station parking lot, but they were also shocked at his sweaty cheeks round and pale, pushing against the frames of his smoky aviator sunglasses. A fleshy mound waddled beneath his chin.
Any punches to the face will just glide off these meat and chop, mutton chops on the side here.
The zipper of the navy jacket he wore sported an official DEA insignia strained against his paunch belly. Beneath the jacket, the sequins of his stage suit.
DEA stands for Don't Even Attempt It.
Do you say donut? Even attempted, Elvis?
No, we're in Wisconsin. I like cheese curds.
The boy said he looked overstuffed like a sausage casing ready to burst.
So you're saying this fight is settled then, huh?
Keith thought he had never seen a more exhausted man in his life. The two thugs took a few steps backwards. Shadows of the night. Elvis went into his car and
then we went and get the peanut butter and nana sandwich.
Yes.
Some of that yogurt I like with the cinnamon rolls at the bottom.
Bodyguards whisked him away, and Elvis was gone. That is a 100% true story, and that is actually how it happened. There were a few witnesses gathered around and saw it, and there's actually, in Madison, Wisconsin, where that gas station stands now or used to stand, there's actually a stone marker and an engraving, you know, an engravement that says Elvis Presley committed this act of heroism in this parking lot on this date, June 24th, 1977. It was the king to the rescue. How about that? All right. Thank you, everybody, for playing your roles in the telling
of
it. I think it's important the young people in the audience understand that story. I know there's an Elvis movie that's out this weekend, but I'm sure.
How can it compare to that?
It's not nearly as good as that. Brad and John from San Juan, Classic Rock 92.9 KISM.